Oakland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Oakland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, January 31st, 2023. Joel.
Boy, just under the wire there, Rick. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1, we are in verse 13. Joel 1:13. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Joel 1:13, we've exegeted half of the verse. It sounds like this: put on sackcloth and lament, O priests, be caused to wail with sorrow and distress, distress of soul, you who minister before the brazen altar, the Mizbeach. And at the brazen altar, an innocent lamb bore the judgment of the guilty. And likewise, Christ, the Lamb of God, bore the judgment of our sins on the cross. John 1:29. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The sacrifice being burnt on the altar as a sweet savor to God was a type of Christ who was offered up on the cross as a sweet savor offering and sacrifice to God the Father. Ephesians 5, verse 2. The word Mizbeach also means a high place. The sacrifice had to be lifted up on the altar. Christ, being lifted up on the cross as our sacrifice, speaks of this procedure. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross to solve this problem, man's problem of sin. The fire that burned continually on the altar had a twofold meaning. It proclaimed God's holiness, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and it was symbolic of His readiness to receive the sacrificial offerings of the people to cleanse them from sin. The five utensils used to serve the altar were types of Christ, Pans and shovels were used to remove the precious ashes of the sacrifice and carry them outside the camp to be disposed in a clean place. The ashes spoke of the finished work of Christ on the cross. John 19:30, when Jesus Christ cried out, "Tetelestai, it is finished." All the work for salvation was completed by Christ on the cross. And then his body was placed in a clean place, a new tomb that had never been used at his burial, John 19:41. The blood from the sacrifice was drained into a basin and poured out at the base of the altar, typifying the saving work of Christ on the cross, Hebrews 9, verses 12 to 15. The flesh hooks represented the cruel hands of the men who nailed our Lord Jesus Christ to the cross, Luke 23:32 to 34. The fire pans, which carried the fire from the brazen altar to the altar of incense, represented Christ's intercessory ministry of prayer at the Father's throne, Hebrews 7:24 and 25, 1 John 2:1. The brazen altar and the cross of Christ speak of the basis of justification. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ and his salvation work on the cross on our behalf, God the Father imputes his righteousness to us and declares us to be righteous, justification by faith in Jesus Christ. The position of the altar spoke of access and fellowship with God. Before the priest could enter the Holy of Holies, he had to offer a blood sacrifice on the brazen altar. Now today, access and fellowship with God can only come through faith in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If we reject the sacrifice of Christ's work on the cross, then we will receive eternal separation from God, eternal condemnation and judgment, John 3:18, John 3:36. Now, we're living in the church age, not the age of Israel, not the time of the ritual plan of God. We live in the time of the church age and the protocol plan of God. And yet, there are sacrifices that God demands that we present to him today in the church age. Today in the church age, God requires another sacrifice from the royal family of God after salvation. And that is seen in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And we ended with that last time. We're going to start with that this evening. So turn over to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. God requires a sacrifice from the royal family of God after salvation, after your faith in Jesus Christ. And he describes that in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verse 1, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, royal family of God, fellow believers, in view of God's mercy, his grace in action, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Stop being conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, the cosmic system, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." This here is the living sacrifice that you offer as royal family of God in the church age. Keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now that means, first of all, and it's not easy to find, a sound Bible teaching church. it's almost impossible to find today. But when you find it, then under consistency and faithfulness, you assemble, and with positive volition and humility, you listen to the teaching of the Word of God, and you respond to it under humility and positive volition. You believe it, and every time you believe the teaching of God's Word, it comes in and it takes the garbage that you had in your mind, hauls that garbage out, and I hate to tell you this, but you all have a mind full of garbage. And there was none of you when you believed in Christ that you had all of the truth of the Word of God in your thinking. You had a lot of goofy stuff. But as you learn and believe the Word of God, divine viewpoint comes in, hauls out human viewpoint garbage. Divine viewpoint comes in, hauls out human viewpoint garbage. And what is taking place? A transformation in your thinking. A renewing of your mind. So that now you have maximum divine viewpoint thinking, the thinking of Jesus Christ. That's the living sacrifice. Keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. So here we are in the church age. We're not in the age of Israel. We're not under the ritual plan of God of the age of Israel. We're in the protocol plan of God of the church age. And yet God has another sacrifice, a living sacrifice, that we are commanded to carry out after salvation. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Keep on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right. So we have put on sackcloth and lament, O priest, because to wail with sorrow and distress of soul, you who minister before the brazen altar, the Mizbeach. And then we continue on, and it says, come and lie all night in sackcloth. Now, that's probably the last thing any one of you want to do is put on sackcloth and lie all night long, especially if you knew what it was. It's kind of like putting on a burlap sack and sleeping in that for pajamas. This isn't asking you to sleep in it. This is calling for rebound and spiritual recovery. You see, Joel is God's servant and communicator to the southern kingdom Judah when they were already in the fourth cycle of national discipline and very close to the fifth cycle of national discipline. Very close to being destroyed as a client nation to God. And so he is calling for them. It's time, you better turn back to God. It starts out with rebound. You have to rebound and then spiritual recovery. Positive volition toward Bible doctrine. You got to get back to truth and get truth and believe truth. Same thing in America today. The problem in America today is a spiritual problem. And the only thing that will solve it is a spiritual solution. And the same thing that God demanded here of His client nation, Judah, is what He demands of us as His client nation, USA. And that is rebound and spiritual recovery. That's the only hope for America. Come lie all night in sackcloth. We have the cal imperative of the verb bow plus the cal imperative of the verb loon plus the prepositional phrase bathe and the plural of the noun sack. The verb bow looks like this in the Hebrew. That's B, long O, aleph, bow. And bo is the verb that means to come, it means to come in, it means to go in. It's in the imperative mood. And the imperative mood is a command to action. It is a command to come to your senses and rebound. That's what this mandate is about. Come to your senses. And this command is for Americans today, to believers today in Client Nation USA. As goes the believer, so goes the Client Nation to God. Don't go blaming all the unbelievers. We have lots and lots of Christians in this nation. Most of them are in reversionism. Most of them are living in Satan's cosmic system. The problem isn't we don't have enough Christians in America. We have a lot. It's just that most of them are in reversionism, living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And therefore, believers in this country need to come to their senses. You know, I have my own prayer list. It gets longer and longer and longer as each you add things to my prayer list, to the church's prayer list. And many of you, there are people you know who are believers and they're going the wrong way. My prayer for them, every one of those, is that God will do whatever it takes to work in their heart, so that they come to their senses. Come to their senses and rebound. Acknowledge their sins to God. Acknowledge that they're wrong. And then when they get back into fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit and the spiritual life, then make the good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the filling of the Spirit, consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine, executing God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. And grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ so that you might glorify God for the rest of your life that you have here, and it's not that long, that you might glorify God to the maximum for the rest of your life. And I pray that day after day after day after day. Well, that's what Joel is commanding of the believers in Client Nation Judah in his day. So this imperative mood is a command to action. It's a command to come to your senses and rebound. The verb, and then we have the verb loon. It's loon, not loony. L-U-N, loon. And loon means to pass the night, to spend the night. A couple of things about this word. One, the night represents adversity and suffering. The night represents adversity and suffering. Two, this word was used in Psalm 25, verse 13, for David's suffering for blessing. This was the verb used in Psalm 25, 13, for David's suffering for blessing. Three, however, in Joel 1:13, our verse, it is used for punitive suffering and divine discipline. In our verse, it's used for punitive suffering and divine discipline. So, point four, the imperative mood, once again, is a command to rebound and then spiritual recovery. And then we have the preposition baith, which means in, and then sack, which is the Hebrew word for sackcloth. And sackcloth was a uniform that was an outward expression of sorrow in the soul. The wearing of sackcloth was associated with rebound and confession of sin, spiritual recovery. And we saw many of those passages earlier in our study of Joel 1. There's a couple of them that are very important that relate to this, specifically what we have here in Joel. I want you to look at those again. They're great, great passages. First of all, Nehemiah 9. Nehemiah 9. Nehemiah 9, verse 1. On the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and having dust on their heads. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places and they confessed their sins and the reversionism of their fathers. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day and spent another quarter in confession and in worshiping the Lord their God. Now turn over to Daniel. Daniel lived in Jeremiah's time. Jeremiah was one of the great, great communicators of the Word of God. He was a communicator to the southern kingdom, Judah. When the southern kingdom turned away from God and the Word of God, they didn't listen to Jeremiah. They hated Jeremiah. They hated what he taught. In fact, they threw Jeremiah in a pit. They were going to kill him. Then they put him in stocks and walked by him and made fun of him. And here was one of the great communicators of the Word of God, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said, God is going to bring evil to destroy evil. God brought evil one, the Chaldeans under Nebuchadnezzar, into the southern kingdom Judah to destroy evil too. Judah, the client nation to God. And Jeremiah said that. He taught that. And they hated Jeremiah for it. And then here comes Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans. They slaughtered the Jewish people. Women, men, children, old people were slaughtered. The temple destroyed. Jerusalem destroyed. Most of the people in the land were destroyed. The few survivors, wasn't that many, were taken to Babylon. Daniel was one of those survivors. And when he got to Babylon, Daniel knew. He was with Jeremiah 100%. He knew everything that Jeremiah taught was absolute truth. And here he is, in Babylon, in slavery, and he makes this prayer. Daniel 9, starting at verse 3. This is one of the most phenomenal prayers. A prayer to come to your senses and rebound. Spiritual recovery. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God, God the Father, and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of grace with all who love him and obey His commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked. We're in reversionism and have rebelled. We have turned away from Your commands and laws. We have not listened to Your servants, the prophets, like Jeremiah, who spoke in Your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, You are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where You have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to You. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against You. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against Him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws He gave to us through His servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed Your law and turned away, refusing to obey You. And therefore the curses and the sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the five cycles of national discipline, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against You. You have fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster under the whole heaven. Nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to Your truth, Bible doctrine. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything He does, yet we have not obeyed Him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought Your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for Yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all Your righteous acts, turn away Your anger and Your wrath from Jerusalem, Your city, Your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and Your people an object of scorn to all those around us. We are also on the verge of the fifth cycle of discipline. Daniel went through it. Daniel lived in it. He loved Jeremiah. But that wasn't most of the believers. Most of the believers hated Jeremiah. Despised Jeremiah. Rejected Jeremiah. Rejected what he taught. Not Daniel. And he saw his nation, which he loved, destroyed, as Jeremiah said it would be destroyed. The United States of America will also be destroyed if we don't turn back to God and His Word. Absolutely, guarantee, we will be destroyed. There is no United States of America in the tribulation. None. There is no USA. Right now, we're one of the great nations in the world. You think, oh, well, what's going to happen to us? Well, about, let me count the ways. About 1,000 different ways we can be removed from history. There is no United States of America in the tribulation. The balloon goes up, the rapture, we're all out of here. And who were the powers? The king of the north, Russia. The kings of the east, China. The pan-Arabic bloc, the kings of the south, revived Roman Empire from the west. That's it. No United States of America, none. Nada. Now, if we are still here, all believers are gone. That means if there is a country here, the whole Senate and House representative is 100% Democrat. Shit. No wonder that there's no United States of America. So somebody wanted to know if I said the Sheen word. Only when, and by the way, that just communicates. Did you understand what I meant when I said that? Everybody here understood that. Did I use the Lord's name in vain? No. So there's nothing wrong with expletives like a damn or a shit or a fuck or something like that. Now that's probably the only thing some of you will learn. And those on the emails and that, I don't know what they're going to think. So come spend the night in sackcloth, which is a command to come to your senses. Come to your senses. Rebound. And get into spiritual recovery. And then he says, ye ministers of my God. This is the PL participle of the verb sharat plus the noun Elohim with the first person singular suffix. Sharat. S-H-A-R-A-T, Sharat. A couple of things. Sharat means to minister or to serve. To minister or to serve, but it's a substantival participle. Substantival participle, that's point two, functions as a noun. So this is a noun translated ministers or the ones who serve. And then three, the PAL stem is the intensive stem of the Hebrew. The ones who intensively minister. The ones who intensively serve. And then four, once again, this emphasizes the preparation and professionalism of the ministry. They intensively minister, intensively serve. And for the communicator today, the pastor, teacher, that means intensive. Study, 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 study. Study and teaching of the Word of God. And then Elohim, Elohim, Aleph, E-L-O-H, long I-M, Elohim. Now, this im ending, that's a plural ending. Translated God. But the ending's in the plural. Now this is really cool because here is the Hebrew word that accounts for the entire Godhead. God is one in essence and three in personality. So when you have Elohim, that includes the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Im. The one in essence, three in personality. But it refers specifically here to the Lord Jesus Christ. first person singular suffix, my God. Joel is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, O ministers of my God. Now we have the reason or the cause for this command to rebound. It starts out that for the meal offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Now we've already had this in verse 9, the gift offering and the drink offering in verse 9, and I refer you in detail to what we studied in verse 9, but it's brought up again here. For the meal offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. It starts out with the causal conjunction key. K-long-I, key. And key means, here it's causal conjunction, it means because. So, a couple of things here. One, key introduces the cause or the reason for the commands given to the priest to rebound and for spiritual recovery. Key introduces the cause or the reason for the commands given to the priest to rebound and spiritual recovery. Two, the reason is because of divine judgment. Judah, the client nation of God, is under the five cycles of national discipline. They've already passed the fourth cycle and they're on the verge of the fifth cycle of national discipline. The reason is because of divine judgment. Three, the divine judgment of the locust invasion has caused shame, reversionistic wailing, punitive suffering, economic depression, loss of happiness, great misery of soul. It's not a soul full of inner happiness. They're souls full of misery. So the divine judgment of the locust invasion has caused shame, reversionistic wailing, punitive suffering, economic depression, loss of happiness, great misery of soul. Four, because their worship of God had simply become religious hypocrisy. And that sure characterizes fundamentalism in America today. It's religious hypocrisy. Because their worship of God had simply become religious hypocrisy, God shut down their superficial offerings. He just shut it down. He says, I'm sick and tired of this religious hypocrisy. So because their worship of God had simply become religious hypocrisy, God shut down their superficial offerings. Five, what they were doing on the outside, bringing their sacrifices and offerings, their minka gift offerings and nesek drink offerings, what they were doing on the outside, bringing their sacrifices and offerings, was not motivated by their love for God. It was not motivated by their love for God. And I hope you from our Thursday class, 1 John and Chapters 3, 4, and 5, the greatest dissertation in the Word of God on virtue love. That is the objective of the spiritual life. For you to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. For you to have personal love for God the Father. Motivating impersonal love for all. Occupation with Jesus Christ. And when you have that, sharing the happiness of God. But what they were doing, what these believers in Joel's day were doing, what they were doing on the outside, bringing sacrifices and offerings, was not motivated by their love for God. They had no love for God. Six, it was simply religious hypocrisy. Simply religious hypocrisy. What they were doing was beautiful and impressive on the outside. People were impressed, but on the inside they suffered from spiritual decay and rottenness, and God was not impressed at all. Seven, in fact, God could only judge them. So he shut down. He shut the whole system down. In fact, God could only judge them, so he shut the whole system down. And then we have the meal offering and the drink offering, and this is the exact same thing we had in verse 9. The Minkah and the Nesek. And Minkah came from the verb manak, which means to give a gift, so the noun minkah literally means a gift or a present, and the minkah is a gift offering. And then nesek, both minkah and nesek we had in verse 9. In fact, let me read again verse 9. The gift offering, the minkah, and the drink offering, the nesek, are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn, the ministers of the Lord. So we had this in verse 9, now it's reiterated again in verse 13. The drink offering pictures our sins. It actually comes from the nesek, comes from the Hebrew verb nasak, which means to pour out. And the nesek is the drink offering. The drink offering pictures our sins being poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ and judged in him on the cross. The nesek offering portrays the imputation of all mankind's sins to the sin bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ. It portrays the salvation work of Christ on the cross. And the drink offering was associated with the burnt offering, the olah, Numbers 15, 5 through 10. And so the burnt offering is taught in detail in Leviticus chapter 1, and the gift offering is taught in detail in Leviticus chapter 2. But I refer you to our studies that we made back in verse 9 on the gift offering and the drink offering. We're not going to go through all that again. Corrected translation. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, O ministers of my God, because the gift offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. This is the nifal perfect of the verb mana, plus the preposition min, prefix to the construct of the noun bayith, plus the noun Elohim with the second person plural masculine suffix. The verb mana. M-A-N-A-I-N, manah. A couple of things on this verb. One, in the cal stem, manah means to withhold or to hold back. In the cal stem, to withhold or to hold back. Point two, in the nifal stem, which is what we have the nifal stem. The nifal stem is the passive of the cal stem, and mana in the nifal stem means to be held back or to be withheld. To be held back or to be withheld. Three, the divine judgment of the locust invasion has resulted in these offerings receiving the action of being held back by the Lord. The divine judgment of the locust invasion, fourth cycle of national discipline, economic disaster, has resulted in these offerings receiving the action of being held back by the Lord. Four, divine judgment has put an end to their religious hypocrisy. God said, that's it. Enough is enough. Your religious hypocrisy doesn't mean a thing to me, the living and true God. So divine judgment has put an end to their religious hypocrisy. And then we have the preposition men, which is the preposition of separation. M-I-N. Men. Preposition of separation means separated from. And then the noun bieth. That's B-A-Y-I-T-H. Bieth. And bieth is the word literally house. And it's with the noun Elohim with the second person plural masculine suffix. The house of your God. So the corrected translation. Put on sackcloth and lament, O priests, be caused to wail, you who minister before the brazen altar. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, O ministers of my God, because the gift offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Withheld from the house of your God. What is the house of your God? The temple. So in verse 13, we have the principle of rebound and spiritual recovery applied to the Levitical priests. Now in verse 14, we have the principle of rebound and spiritual recovery applied to the believers in client nation Israel as a whole. So in verse 13, the emphasis was on the Levitical priests' rebound and spiritual recovery. Now in verse 14, we have the principle of rebound and spiritual recovery applied to the believers and the client nation Israel as a whole. Verse 14, this spiritual recovery in verse 14 is given in four commands. We have four verbs. All of them are in the imperative mood. These are four mandates for spiritual recovery. And this is given to the entire nation. Four mandates for spiritual recovery. Mandate number one, sanctify a fast. This is the PL imperative of the verb kadash, joined by a makef to the noun tzom. Kadash. Q-A-D-A-S-H. Kadash. Now, Kadash, in the PL stem, which is what we have, Kadash means to set apart, to consecrate, to dedicate, to observe something as holy and sacred. To set apart, to consecrate, to dedicate, to observe something as holy and sacred. It means observe as holy, to keep something, observe it, keep it as sacred. And then we have the Hebrew word tzom. That's T-S long O-M, tzom. And tzom is the Hebrew word for fast or fasting. So the corrected translation says, set apart a holy fast. Set apart a holy fast. Now, all four of these mandates are mandates for spiritual recovery in client nation Judah. So the first one, point one, In the dispensation of Israel, the Levitical priests represented the Jewish people before the Lord. Two, God is commanding these priests through his prophet Joel to gather the people of Israel together in a solemn assembly. God is commanding these priests through his prophet Joel to gather the people of Israel together in a solemn assembly. Three, they are commanding the people to fast because this is going to be a time of intensified worship. They are commanding the people to fast because this is going to be a time of intensified worship. In other words, point four, the time that they would normally use for eating will be set aside to worship the Lord. The time that they would normally use for eating will be set aside to worship the Lord. Five, this intensified worship of the Lord will include rebound, prayer, intensified study of the Word of God. This intensified worship of the Lord will include rebound, prayer, intensified study of the Word of God. Set apart a holy fast. Command number one. Set apart a holy fast. Command number two. Call a solemn assembly. This is the cal imperative of the verb kara plus the noun atzara. Kara looks like this in the Hebrew. That's Q-A-R-A, Aleph, Kara. Kara means to call, it means to summon, it means to proclaim. Call, summon, proclaim. The imperative mood is a mandate, mandate number two. The Levitical priests are commanded to gather the Jews together in a solemn assembly for the purpose of spiritual recovery. And then we have Atzara. Ayin, A-T-S-A-R-A-H, Atzara. Atzara is the Hebrew word for assembly, a solemn assembly, a sacred assembly. So the corrected translation, set apart a holy fast, call a solemn assembly, mandate number two. Now mandate number three, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land. Notice, all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God. This is the cal imperative of asaf plus the plural of the adjective zakein plus kol with the cal active participle of yashav plus the noun eretz with the definite article plus the construct of the noun bayith with the tetragrammaton plus the noun Elohim with the second person plural suffix. First of all, the verb asaf. Aleph, A-S-A-P-H, asaf. And asaf means to gather. It means to collect. This was actually a military term that meant to gather men and armies for battle. That was the word. Military term. It means to gather individuals into a company, into an assembly, into a group. The imperative mood is a mandate. This is a command. The priests are commanded to gather the elders together with all the inhabitants of the land. The word elder, zakein, we've had this earlier in our study too. Z-A-Q-E-N, zakein. And zakein as an adjective means old, but it's not used as an adjective in our verse. It's used as a substantive. It's a noun. Literally, it means old men. Now, it's important to note that these old men represent one category of the people in Israel, while all the inhabitants of the land refer to the rest of the nation. And the same distinction was given by Joel in Joel 1, verse 2. So a couple of things. One, zakein is a technical term describing a person in authority. Not because he's old, but because he has authority. It's like in the military, the old man. You didn't call the old man because he was old. He was the man, he was the one in authority. So zakein is the technical term describing a person in authority. Two, Joel is addressing those who are ruling Judah during the infancy of the king Joash. He was too young to rule. And therefore, during his infancy, the zakein, the old men, were ruling along with the kohen, the priest. Three, the zakein are the men who make up the leadership of the country. The zakein are the men who make up the leadership of the country. Four, at this time, the leadership of Judah is composed of zakein, translated elders in most of your Bibles, and kohen, priests. So at this time, the leadership of Judah is composed of zakein, elders, and kohen, priests. Five, the elders were the civil leaders who played a prominent part in the government and judicial system in Israel. The elders were the civil leaders who played a prominent part in the government and judicial system in Israel. So these elders of Israel are commanded to gather together in the house of the Lord, the temple, along with all the inhabitants of the land. Kol Yoshebei Haaretz. Kol means all. This mandate is given to everyone living in Judah. All, and then Yoshebei is the verb yashav. Y-A-S-H-A-B, yashav. And yashav means to sit, to remain, to dwell. It is a substantival participle, which means it functions as a noun and is translated dweller or inhabitants, and they are the inhabitants of the Eretz, Haaretz. Eretz is the word for earth or land. Aleph, E-R-E-T-S, word for land or earth. And when you have Haaretz, this is the land in the sense of a nation or a country. And here it refers specifically to southern kingdom Judah that the prophet Joel is ministering to. The construct of the noun bayith, the house of, the tetragrammaton, the Lord. So one. The house of the Lord is the temple. The house of the Lord is the temple. Two, it is the Lord's house. because the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelt in the Holy of Holies above the Ark of the Covenant. The house of the Lord is the temple. It is the Lord's house because the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelt in the Holy of Holies above the Ark of the Covenant. 3. Then Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is declared to be your Elohim, your God. Then Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is declared to be your Elohim, your God. That is point 4. This is another passage that teaches the deity of Jesus Christ. So we have 3 of the 4 mandates now. Mandate number 1, set apart a holy fast. Mandate number 2, call a solemn assembly. Mandate number 3, gather the rulers, the elders, and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God, the temple. Now that brings us to the 4th mandate, and cry unto the Lord. Now that doesn't mean boo-hoo cry. This is intensified prayer. This is the time for rebound. Confession of your sins, acknowledging the fact that you've done wrong, you've sinned. And then it is praying, intensive prayer, and intensive worship of the Lord. All of this is here in this 4th mandate, and cry unto the Lord. And we'll start there next time. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace to us. Thank you for the privilege of assembling to worship you through the study of your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.